Hello, Elizabeth. This is Michael Criswell. I just had a chance to read your email and I had a few minutes. I just wanted to reach out to you and tell you that number one, it always breaks my heart to see how much pain and devastation comes from just a few moments of sinful pleasure. I have been warning people for years, and I'm a victim of it as well. I still suffer today from sinful things I did over 20 years ago. And it's devastating. You know, Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." That if we sow to the sinful nature for pleasure, we will reap destruction. And you can see that no matter how much you repent, you can't remove the destruction that took place. You sowed and you reaped, and so did I. I mean, I'm still facing the consequences today of premarital sex that I had with my first spouse that ended in the abortion of twins. So it's always a fresh touch of the pain that I feel personally, and I feel even more so towards all the people that I've ministered towards for years, to try to beg and plead people to not do this. And yet, Romans 8:28 says, God can work all things together for the good to those who love him. I mean, this is not a surprise to God. It's devastating to me. It's devastating when I think of the pain that your sin caused that family and his sin, those children, your child. And now think about it. Here I am, a complete stranger, being invited to try to take some of my time to clean up your mess. I'm not saying that to be disrespectful to you. I'm saying that to let the full weight. I've always tried to show people, sin and rebellion against God is not neutral. It does not just affect the sinner. It affects all the people around us. You never totally understand. In fact, I had a video that I did years ago called "The World's Most Expensive Sex." You know what it was? You think you've messed up more than anybody. You've messed up, but not even close to messing up more than anybody. Until you murder his former spouse to make you his new wife, you haven't messed up as bad as King David did. The world's most expensive sex is that which King David had with Bathsheba. God put an extra high price of consequence on that sin. And when you read that story and you see how it affected the lives of the concubines, it affected the lives of the Israelites, it affected the lives of all of David's council, all of David's family, his own children, it is absolutely devastating. It's unbelievably incalculable, the amount of, and you look at this, for what? So that he could have 15 minutes of sexual pleasure with Bathsheba. Unbelievable. We think we can get away with it, and we can't. But look, God can, if you will stay humble and repentant and call sin, sin, and do not go back to your sin, God can turn this around. You need desperately, here's the most important thing I'm going to say. You have got to find out from God what his next guidance is for you. You made a decision apart from him, and now you're paying heavy, heavy consequences. You don't want to make another decision apart from him. It may be the last decision you ever make. You have got to find out what is his heart on this matter. What does he say about this? Does he want you guys to begin a union that started in sin? It's very, very unlikely. I don't know that God could ever bless it. You cannot look at that and say, God put you guys together any more than you can say, I put my first marriage together. And we didn't do this out of an affair. We had premarital sex, but I chose, and that's a sin. Going your own way is a sin. So it is very, very unlikely that God would have you stay in this relationship. It's shocking that he did Bathsheba and David, but David murdered her spouse. It now becomes David's responsibility to take care of the one that he wanted to have some sexual fun with. Just like if you raped a woman in the old covenant, if she didn't cry out, you had to marry her and take care of her. You were not going to be able to just have your way with her. Now you were going to be responsible for providing for her. So it's a little different, but it's not likely at all that God would have you two be married or be together. Something is completely rooted in evil and in sin, and I don't see there's any way God can bless it. Can he redeem it? Yes. Can he turn it all around? Yes. Can he use it for good in both of your lives or whoever wants to repent? Absolutely, God can turn it around. He's the God of Romans 8:28. And I tell you this, there's also an opportunity for you to be like Luke 7:47. Her many sins have been forgiven because she loved much, but he who's been forgiven little loves little. So you're in a situation where you could actually end up being a greater lover of God than people who are a little bit more self-righteous than you are because they haven't, well, quite fell as far as you did. I don't want you to feel good about your sin. What you did was terrible. What I've done is terrible. Our sin is horrendous. But I do want you to know that God is a very loving, merciful God and knows we are creatures formed of dust and we mess up. And when we do so, we mess up bad. God wants you to know that you can be forgiven. You already know this apparently, but what you need to now do is you need to find God's guidance. You desperately need to hear from him. Father, what would you want me to do to begin to rectify this situation? What do you want me to do with my life? What do you want me to do with our living arrangements? You need to find God's help in this. Don't let any person give you counsel. You need to go to God. Stop regarding man who has but a breath of in his nostrils. Of what account is he? Isaiah 2:22. You need to depend upon God. You need to humble yourself. This is an opportunity for you to really humble yourself, Elizabeth, and go to God and beg him to give you the guidance. Beg him. You need to go to him. You did business with him when you went and confessed your sin. Now you need to do business with him and you go and you say, God, I need your help. I need to know, what do you want me to do? And trust that if you really are desiring his will, if you really are desiring his counsel, God will make it clear. Be patient and wait. Get in the Bible, read the word, get in some devotions. Start making sure that you're in the word every single day, that you're in prayer and that you're waiting upon God. Do not add to your sin. Do not add to it. You desperately need God's guidance right now. You need his forgiveness. You need his redemption. You need Romans 8:28, desperate. But you'll only get it if you seek God on his terms. It takes humility, faith, and patience. Believe that God will speak to you. Believe that he will guide you. Believe that he will, through his providence, guide you to scriptures that show you, oh boy, and the Holy Spirit will let you know that is exactly what God's word is for you. No matter what the cost is, at this point, you have to be willing to pay the cost no matter what. No matter what he asks you to do, you've lost your choice. Here, you have an obligation now to do whatever God asks you, no matter how painful it is, whether it means losing your son, losing the relationship, no matter what it means, you don't have any choices, Elizabeth. You're not in any position to bring any kind of bargaining. I'm sure you would agree. This is what our sin does to us. And we have to, and listen, I'm not speaking down to you as if somebody that I'm above you. No, I'm better off than you right now because I'm not living in any no sin, but I'm not any better than you are. I have the same sinful, foul, corrupt, wicked heart that you do. I've participated in perhaps more sexual sin than you did. So I'm not trying to look down upon you. If anything, I'm looking down upon you just because I'm standing higher up in God's grace and in his freedom and in his truth. And if anything, I'm looking down on you and saying, hey, grab the hand here. Come on up. Come higher. Come out of that sin. Go and sin no more, Jesus says to the sinful woman caught in adultery. Go and sin no more. So you need to be really careful, Elizabeth. Be really careful. God is merciful. God is kind, but he's also severe. He's also strict. Romans 11:20 tells us this. Consider both the kindness and the sternness of God. So I tell you, Elizabeth, cry out to God. This is what he wants me to tell you. You need to cry out to him so that he can give you the answer, so that he can give you the guidance, and then do whatever he tells you to do. The word that he's shown me for you already is Romans 8:28. God will use this to draw you. He already has to draw you. You know, you lost your life when you wanted to commit suicide. That's coming to the place where you're like, okay, my life is over. I'm done with it. That's the place that you can truly begin life with Jesus Christ. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life will find it. You now have an opportunity, if you stay humble and you don't think you can work yourself out of this, you stay humble, become like a little child, totally dependent and desperate on God. Matthew 18:3-4, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This humbles you. Ah, you didn't do such a good job when you were on the steering wheel. Neither did I. But now you come to the Lord. You see, I'm sitting at a Starbucks right now. And you know something? I fell into sexual sin right as I was starting this ministry. I tried to help a lady. She was a multimillionaire. I was very humbled in my finances. This lady had power over me. We were both single, but nonetheless, she basically raped me. And I say this to you absolutely crystal clear before God. Now, I put myself in a bad situation, but she basically raped me. I told her no less than 30 times. It's the one video of my sin I'll never be ashamed to watch if it's ever played before people in heaven, because you will see me literally, sincerely trying to push this woman off of me, saying, we cannot do this. We are Christians. What do you think you're doing? You're not going to get away with this. And she just kept forcing herself on me. She would not take no for an answer. Oh, but my sin, you see, was God had given me a way out. And in my pride, I didn't take it. In my pride, I didn't take the way out that he gave me. So my sin was my pride, my fear of man. And putting myself in that situation to begin with, and also telling the Lord, oh, I got this. There's a video that I have, why God sometimes allows us to fall into gross sin, where I tell this story in more detail. Okay? I forget what the point was I was making about this, but you know, we have this pride, and you've got to humble yourself before God. And you go and you sin no more, but God can turn this whole thing around. He turned it all around. In that instance, he broke me of my pride. But I'm just going to tell you that I sit here at the Starbucks today. I'm getting ready to go inside. I don't walk in here without being, God, help me. I'm walking into the lion's den. God, I'm walking into the world. Lord, keep me. You know, I'm a target for Satan. And so, Lord, keep me, strengthen me, protect me. I'm not trusting in my own strength. Thank you, Lord. That's what I was trying to tell you, is you have to be totally dependent upon God. Now, perhaps go back and listen to what I've shared with you. Please take it seriously. And if you'll do what I've asked you to do, because it's just the word of God, I promise you, Elizabeth, God will speak and give you guidance. And it may not be easy. The consequences of sin are not easy, and God will forgive you, but he doesn't remove the consequences. There's going to be damage to people's lives for years. But if you'll lead the way, you'll see Romans 8:28. God will turn it all for your good in his glory. May God bless you to walk in that and see that as your reality. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.